Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello ladies, hello gentlemen. This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki. And if you're looking for one-to-one lessons with a qualified teacher to help you work on specifically the things that you need to work on, then iTalki can definitely help. It's a very well-established professional platform and it's very impressive the way it works. You can easily find the right teacher for you. You can check out all their experience and qualifications. You can read reviews of them. It's like going shopping online for a teacher. And when you find the right person for you, then book some time with them. And it's all done there through the iTalki platform. It's extremely convenient and easy. And remember, when you buy some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher, which is equivalent to a free lesson. So basically, you can get a free lesson on iTalki as well. Okay, to get started and to get all the details, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello folks, welcome to a new episode. In this one, I'm going to go through some more audio of interviews I did with native speakers of English in London 10 years ago, and I'll mine it for any nice bits of English vocabulary that we find. Before we begin this episode properly, I just want to say a couple of things about the last episode, the one about Queen and Freddie Mercury, and also to let you know about my plans for the summer and how that might affect the podcast. We'll start with summer plans. First of all, I'm going away on holiday during the second week of July. That's next week, so no podcasts will go up during that time. Then, when we get back, I'm teaching intensive summer courses at the British Council, which means teaching all day, every day, and that's for the rest of July. I still have the evenings, but having a lot less time probably means I won't be able to produce podcasts at the usual rate. So things might go quiet for the rest of the month. Also, in August, we have several holiday plans which are currently coming together, and that will mean being away for at least half of the month. So things might go quiet during July and August, only to return at the normal rate in September. I'll also prioritise premium content, because that is stuff that I feel I have a duty to publish. Right, so that's the summer plans and how they'll affect the podcast. Things might be a bit quiet, as usual, at this time of year, but there's the whole episode archive to explore, all the app-only episodes you might not have heard, and all the premium content too. Next, let me say a couple of things about the last episode, which was all about Queen, before starting this episode properly in a few minutes. First of all, I received some nice, enthusiastic responses from people who were very pleased that I was finally talking about Queen on the podcast. For example, Francisca Lopez Aperador on YouTube wrote this: "Hi Luke, I was waiting for this episode. You really made my day. How could I express how thrilled I am? Thanks, thanks, thanks. Cheers from Spain, teacher." I think the teacher is addressing me. Unless this is a Spanish teacher in Spain, I'm not sure. Anyway, that was nice. However, some people are saying that Alex, my guest on the episode, some people are saying that Alex is unintelligible in the Queen episode. There weren't many comments, but I reckon if I just get one or two comments about something, it's probably representative of what a lot of other people, or ninjas, are thinking too. For example, Arseny wrote on the website, he wrote, "I don't understand any words in this conversation. Luke's speech is clear, but this guy speaks like alien." So, what do you think? Is Alex unintelligible? Does he speak like an alien? Personally, I understand every single word Alex says and said in the episode. And also, I noticed that YouTube's automatic subtitles understood most of what he said. By the way, my episodes go up on YouTube now, not as videos, just with an image, but you can get the subtitles. You can see the automatic subtitles, which are 90% correct, going up to about 95% correct when I'm on my own. But so YouTube understood Alex mostly, but there were definitely moments when it was difficult to understand everything he said, largely due to the audio quality during the call and partly due to Alex's speech. And that probably made it a bit less satisfying as a listening experience for you. Apologies for that. The audio quality wasn't up to the normal high standard that you've become used to. Also, arguably, Alex doesn't enunciate as clearly as I do, but then again, most people don't. And this brings us back to this perpetual question of the way that I speak on the podcast. A typical question I get a lot is this. People say, Luke, do you speak normally or do you slow down? Because I understand everything you say, but I don't understand other native speakers. Well, I mean, first of all, I've got pretty good audio equipment, so it captures my voice quite clearly and you can hear every detail because I'm using a decent microphone. And also, I do try to be normal and natural, but I'm also trying to speak clearly. This is actually just how I speak. I always make an effort to speak clearly. That's who I am, partly as a result of being an English teacher for many years, but also it's just the way that I was brought up to speak. However, in the real world, you're going to hear people who don't speak as clearly as me, and you need to prepare for that. I think that most people don't speak as clearly as I do, and it's not just about speed, it's about diction. Diction is the manner in which words are pronounced. To an extent, you've been spoiled by my clear diction. You also have to listen to people who are harder to understand. It trains you to do things like, for example, use the context and other words you can hear to piece together the bits that you don't understand. It's not always going to be laid out on a plate for you, and you can't always blame the speaker for not being clear enough for you. As I said, I always understand everything Alex says, unfortunately. Unfortunately, in the sense that I have to listen to, him like, Anyway, I always understand everything Alex says. So as far as we are concerned, he doesn't have a problem with his speech. He goes through his life fine, communicating without issues, doing comedy on stage and making people laugh. So Alex's pronunciation isn't a problem in his life. He doesn't speak as clearly as me, but not many people do. So listening to someone like Alex is actually very good training. It's important to listen to subprime audio. I mean, or subprime audio, not subprime people. Of course, because Alex is like a AAA person. But anyway, it's important to listen to less than perfect quality audio. It is. But I know that some of you will be frustrated that you couldn't understand or hear everything. And I'm sorry about that. I thought it would be all right. I think the main thing was the audio quality, actually. Understanding what you hear is an important part of the learning process. But be careful of getting used to understanding everything. Sometimes you have to learn to fill in the gaps yourself. So I want you to understand everything you hear on the podcast. Understanding what you're hearing is an important part of the enjoyment of this podcast. It's also an important part of how this works. I've talked about the role of comprehensible input. Basically, this is the theory that you learn language when you understand it. And so finding compelling material to listen to that you understand is vital. So naturally, clear audio is a part of that, and that's why I spend a lot of time attempting to make sure the audio is of good quality on this podcast. Where possible, I even send microphones to guests that I'm interviewing on Skype or FaceTime. I've sent a microphone to my dad, to my brother. I sent one to Raphael in Liverpool. I sent a mic to Andy Johnson. I couldn't send a mic to Alex because he was using his phone, making a WhatsApp call over a cellular connection. And I expect that this meant that the bandwidth of the audio was very narrow or something like that. Perhaps the audio was compressed so much that there was not much range in the frequency, making it sound kind of squashed or small. I'm not an expert in audio broadcasting, so I'm not sure, but it's probably something like that. Alex doesn't have Wi-Fi at home, believe it or not. So our only option was to just do a voice call. So no way for him to plug in a USB microphone. So that's one of the reasons for the difficult audio. I'm probably going too far here. And people are going to write to me saying, it's okay, Luke, don't apologize. It's fine. I usually go a bit over the top if I'm apologizing for something on the podcast, usually because I've mispronounced a place name or have made some factual error about your country, like saying your country is part of another country when in fact they're separate independent nations, you know, stuff like that. Even apologizing for uploading too much content sometimes. And now apologizing for less than perfect audio in one episode. I'm probably going too far. But it's still worth taking this moment to talk about the pros and cons of good and bad audio when learning English. So if we're learning English with, you know, audio content, if you're learning through listening, what about the quality of the audio that you're listening to? Well, there are good and bad things about having super clear audio and English that you can understand easily. So that's the one extreme. Everything's very clear. You understand all of the English clearly. So the pros of that are that you can learn a lot from it, you know, with comprehensible input, and you get the satisfaction of understanding it all. The disadvantage is that you get used to it and then you struggle to understand like fast native speech. There are also pros and cons of having audio that's harder to understand. So difficult audio trains you to listen more actively and intelligently, but sometimes it's just frustrating when you don't understand. I think it's about striking the right balance. Hopefully on my podcast, I mix it up and have some audio which is not too difficult to follow that you can learn from and enjoy, while also presenting you with more difficult things that you really have to focus on. So now, about this episode that you're listening to right now, this is London Native Speaker Interviews Revisited Part 2. Recently, I uploaded Part 1 of this series. That was episode 591. And if you remember, if you've heard that episode, you'll remember that what I'm doing is revisiting some videos I made 10 years ago when I went into central London with my video camera in order to do quick interviews with people about life in London. My question was, what is London really like? I got loads of little responses from people talking about the good and bad points of life in our capital city, and the videos were pretty successful on YouTube. Two of them now have over a million views, which is not bad. So in these audio episodes, what I'm doing is revisiting those videos. We're going to listen to the audio from the video, see how much you can understand, and then I'm going to break it down in the usual way, clarifying bits of language and helping you to expand your vocabulary. Also, this gives me a chance to be like a film director doing my own DVD commentary track, which is always fun. So how does this relate to the topic of audio quality? Well, I recorded these video interviews on a basic handheld camera. I think it was like digital video cassettes that I was using. And I was using just the inbuilt microphone on the camera. There's a bit of wind and loads of atmospheric noise because central London is a very noisy place. And so, yes, the audio isn't as crystal clear as you might expect. But as I've said, it's good practice. This is where we strike that balance between challenging listening and comprehensible listening. Right, so let's go. Let's listen to the audio. We'll do each mini interview one by one, and then I'll break them down for language one by one. Okay, we're going to listen to each clip twice. The first time, I'll just ask you the question, what are the good and bad things about living in London? And then you can just listen and try and understand. Then we'll listen again, and I'll break it down bit by bit. And there's quite a lot of nice natural vocab to learn from this video. On the page for this episode, on the website, you will see the video. You'll see a transcript for most of this, what I'm saying now, especially the first part. You'll see transcripts for each part of the video. And you'll also see vocabulary notes with definitions for the bits of vocab I explain during the episode. And that's all free, which is nice, isn't it, I suppose? Right then, let's get started. And let me just line up the video here on my phone. Here we go. First thing you're going to hear is the Luke's English Podcast old jingle, the old Luke's English Podcast jingle from back in the day, because this was published in 2009, 10 years ago. And then some sort of music, some generic Apple royalty-free music, and then the first guy. So we're going to break it down into each person. I think there's four people maybe in this one. It's fairly short. Let's get started. Here we go.
How long have you been in London? 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Graphic design at Campbell School of the Arts.
Okay. So your first 2 weeks?
First 2 weeks. It's quite a big impact. Very big, lots of people, and it's quite expensive as well.
Okay. What's the best thing about it?
Nightlife. Very good nightlife. It's got, you know, you can go to the right places, lot of action, lot of friendly people as well.
Excellent. What about the worst thing?
Depends on where you go. I mean, there's quite a lot of muggers about, dodgy people looking at you weirdly. You just want to turn away from them.
Yeah.
But apart from that, generally, a lot of people are quite nice. I mean, there's some people that shove about, but you know, just got to deal with it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay, so that was the first guy. And what should we call him? I think I've called him Student because he's a student, but he kind of looks a bit like sort of Justin Bieber. He's got like this Justin Bieber haircut. He's kind of like a some kind of weird cross between Justin Bieber from 10 years ago and Ed Sheeran from 5 years ago is sort of what he looks like. And some people commented on the video saying that he's really cute because he's got like this Justin Bieber haircut, you know, that kind of vague sort of weird Beatles haircut that he had at the beginning. So this guy's got that and he's got a, like a rucksack on his back. So he's really looks like the atypical student from 2009. Okay, so what have we got? Well, first thing I want to just point out the question that I asked, which is how long have you been in London? How long have you been in London? Which is, you know, such a common question. How long have you been? How long have you been here? How long have you been in this country? How long have you been at this company? How long have you been, you know, and you just need to be able to do it. You just need to be able to say, how long have you, know, how long have you been living here? How long have you been? How long have you been living here? And the answer, I've been living here for 7 years. I've been living here since 2012. How long have you been in London? And he says 2 weeks. But before we get to that, let's just watch the intro to this video again. And I'll just tell you what you can't see or what you can see if you're looking at the video. So we start with a shot of Nelson's column, Lord Admiral Nelson. There he is, Admiral Nelson on the top of Nelson's column in the middle of Trafalgar Square in central London. And you see black taxis and red buses driving by the National Gallery, which is also in Trafalgar Square. And there are statues there. It's a famous place. There are big lion statues.
Hello. So how long have you been in London?
2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks, actually. Because weirdly, for this video, it seems like almost every single person I spoke to had been living in London for 2 weeks. Like it was very strange. So many people told me they'd been there for 2 weeks. I suppose, I mean, I did record it in September, probably late in September. And so I expect people had moved to London, you know, the way you often will make a little change at that time of year. It's the kind of back to school period. In England, it's like the back to school period. And so, yeah, a lot of people have been living in London for 2 weeks, which is a weird thing. And every time someone says it, I'm like, well, everyone's been living in London for 2 weeks. And they're like, huh, you know, they don't understand what I'm talking about. So let's see, what does he do?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Graphic design at Camberwell School of the Arts.
Graphic design, Camberwell School of the Arts. Graphic design, Camberwell School of the Arts. And he does like this hand gesture, yeah, with his finger when he's saying it, yeah. Graphic design, Camberwell School of the Arts. He's got his like finger in the air like that when he's speaking.
Hello.
So how long have you been in London?
2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Graphic design at Camberwell School of the Arts.
Okay.
Graphic design, Camberwell, yeah, School of the Arts, wicked, man. And they're like, yeah, so your first 2 weeks. He says, it's quite a big impact. Very big, lots of people, and it's quite expensive as well. I expect you understood that. Quite a big impact, very big, lots of people, and it's quite expensive.
So your first 2 weeks.
First 2 weeks. It's quite a big impact. Very big, lots of people, and it's quite expensive as well.
Okay.
All right. And then I say, what's the best thing about it? And his answer is basically there's nightlife. Nightlife, which basically means, you know, stuff going on in the evening or at night when the sun's gone down. So we're talking about bars and clubs and places to hang out and socialise at night. So nightlife, very good nightlife. It's got, you know, if you go to the right places, a lot of action. action means excitement and sort of, yeah, like sort of socially exciting things going on. Like, there's a lot, where's the action in this town? Yeah, I'd say the exciting stuff going on in a town could be described as the action. A lot of exciting things happening and lots of nice girls to meet as well. A lot of action. So it's kind of that sort of action, you know? Yeah, there's a lot of action. Okay, let's carry on. And then what's next? Friendly people. And I say, what about the worst things?
What's the best thing about it?
Nightlife. Very good nightlife. It's got, you know, you can go to the right places, lot of action. Mm-hmm. You know, lot of friendly people as well.
Excellent. What about the worst thing?
And he says, well, it depends on where you go. He kind of weirdly speaks more slowly then when he says that. It depends where you go. I mean, there's quite a lot of muggers about. Muggers. A mugger is someone who might mug you in the street. Okay, so the verb is to mug someone or to get mugged. If you get mugged, it means you're like, you might be just be walking down the street at night. It's a bit dark and suddenly someone comes out of a doorway and says, give me all your money or I'm going to stab you. Give me all your money. And you're like, oh, I don't know. Not the face. And you like give them all your stuff. You've just been mugged. Or maybe someone grabbed you but from the behind, like grab you like that. And like, give us all the fucking money, man. Give me the money, man. Don't do nothing stupid, man. You know, like, oh, you got mugged. Okay, or they, you know, they pull out a knife and you go, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Like your Crocodile Dundee or something. So anyway, muggers. Muggers, people who might mug you. To get mugged, to mug someone, to be a mugger. So a lot of muggers about, dodgy people looking at you weirdly. Dodgy is a word that comes up regularly, I think, on this podcast because it's such a common slang word. Dodgy means like untrustworthy, possibly dangerous, bit weird, bit untrustworthy, dangerous, maybe criminal. Dodgy people, you know, looking at you weirdly. Ugh. Imagine just muggers around and dodgy people looking at you weirdly. Ugh, look at that. Look at him. Look at that student there. He looks like Justin Bieber mixed with Ed Sheeran, but at different times in their lives, you know. And he said, you just want to turn away from them. Yeah, which is the right thing to do, Justin. Just turn away from them, Justin.
Depends on where you go. I mean, there's quite a lot of muggers about, dodgy people looking at you weirdly. You just want to turn away from them.
Yeah.
But apart from that, generally, a lot of people are quite nice. I mean, there's some people that shove about, but... just got to deal with it.
And he goes, but apart from that, generally, a lot of people are quite nice. I mean, there's some people that shove about. To shove. Shove is like sort of move against something in order to move, in order to sort of push it. Right? So let's say you've gone to a house to arrest someone. You're a cop from New York and you've gone to an apartment building to arrest someone. And the person opens the door and they put the door on that pathetic little chain. Like they hook it onto the chain. Like, how can I help you? It's like, are you aware of Mr. Johnson at this residence, ma'am? And like, Mr. Johnson? No, we don't have anyone called Mr. Johnson. And then you peek through the doorway and you can see Mr. Johnson running up the stairs. And you shove the door. Poof, you put your shoulder into the door and you shove it with your leg and your shoulder. That's to shove something. So if you can imagine now that you're in a crowded underground station in London, you're in Piccadilly Circus on Saturday evening and lots of people, and some people might shove about. They might be pushing other people, shoving about. A bit like the way Donald Trump did at that meeting. Was it the UN? There was a big UN meeting, I think, and he's just shoving other world leaders out of the way. I've got to get to the front. It's very important. Move, get out of the way, you people. I don't even know who you are. Right? He's like shoving world leaders out of the way. You know, Donald Trump. So anyway, some people, you know, there's some people that shove about, but you've just got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it, haven't you? To deal with something is just to, well, if there's something that you don't really have any control over, you can't stop it, you just have to deal with it, man. It's just like in your head, just make peace with that thing. So there's like people that shove about, but what are you going to do? Well, okay. So you say to yourself, all right, some people shove about. Not everyone does. We live in a big city. There's nothing you can do about it. So we don't mind. So you just deal with it like that. That's what deal with it means. Like, so for example, I don't know. Let's see. You work for the Coca-Cola company and you've done a bit of research. You ask someone in the street, so can you tell me which... I'm just doing a quick survey here for a popular soft drinks manufacturer. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. We're going to call it the Blind Challenge. We've got two cups in front of you there. Just take a sip of each cup and just tell us which one you think is the Coke. Which one's got that crate? No, actually, change my mind. Just tell us which one you think is the best. And the person goes, all right. That's quite nice. Oh, I don't like that one. It made me cough. I like the first one. And the guy's like, right, that's the Pepsi. He's like, well, I prefer Pepsi. There you go. And it's not what you wanted to hear, but I just prefer Pepsi. You're gonna have to just deal with it. Okay, slightly strange examples, but there we go. And then at the end, I think I said thank you very much, and he goes, that's okay. Should we just listen to? I'm gonna shove back 10 seconds. Come on, Justin Bieber. Come on.
Yeah.
But apart from that, generally, a lot of people are quite nice. I mean, there's some people that shove about, but, you know, just got to deal with it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
Cheers.
What a polite young man. Now, bit of vocab then, just to go over it again. So we've got, how long have you been in London? How long have you been in London? I've been in London for 2 weeks. Nightlife, a lot of action, muggers, dodgy people looking at you weirdly. But apart from that, which is a nice phrase to mean despite those other things, like aside from those things, apart from that, generally a lot of people are quite nice. There's some people that shove about. Now, actually, it should be there are some people that shove about, right? It should be. But this is such a common error by native speakers that it's fast becoming accepted usage, I think, especially with people for some reason. Obviously, people is plural, one person, two people. So it should be there are some people. But everyone always says there's some people. So there you go. It's unfair, isn't it? It is. Native speakers make mistakes and they become correct. Learners of English make mistakes and they stay mistakes, unfortunately. Anyway, but there you go. You've just got to deal with it, I suppose. You've just got to deal with it. There, perfect example. Let's move on to the next person who I've called the girl in the red scarf. And for this part of the video, I've moved to Leicester Square, which is where all the cinemas are. It's the showbiz place. So let's hear from the girl in the red scarf.
So, hello.
Hello.
Where are you from?
I live in Redhill, which is about half an hour away from London.
Okay. How long have you lived there?
2 weeks.
Okay. Everyone's been living in London for 2 weeks for some reason. So what's London really like then?
London, well, London's a really, really massive place, which can be quite overwhelming, but it's not that scary after you've got stuck in there.
Yeah.
London has everything you'd ever want if you're into theatres, arts, education, nightclubs, anything. I would say just get stuck in there and go for it.
Okay. Right, what's the worst thing about London?
The worst thing. Ooh, the worst thing. I think the worst thing would have to be the pollution. It's probably not as bad as some countries, but you always feel like you've got black fingernails. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so that was the girl in the red scarf. Short and sweet. Let's just rewind here the video, where we see her in front of a couple of red phone boxes just for the tourist, just to keep the tourists happy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
Cheers.
All right. So then we move to Leicester Square, and there's like images of the View Cinema and the Empire, and you see a poster for Inglourious Basterds, the Quentin Tarantino film, and Bruce Willis, Surrogates, both films that were out at the time.
So, hello.
Hello.
Where are you from?
I live in Redhill, which is about half an hour away from London.
Okay.
So she lives in Redhill. Let me just check where that is. Exactly. It's about half an hour away from London, but it is in, is it in the north or south? Which county is it in? So Redhill is to the south of London in Surrey. Very nice place. She's quite well spoken. She sounds on the, a little posh in her voice, but I think she's probably not. Maybe that's just what people sound like if they come from Surrey. A place like Redhill, it's probably quite a respectable place. Okay. She's been here for 2 weeks, of course.
How long have you lived there?
2 weeks.
Okay. Oh, okay. So she's not actually from Redhill, but she's been living in Redhill for 2 weeks. Where she's from is a mystery. We don't know. But judging by her voice, I would say somewhere in the southeast. And she doesn't have that kind of estuary English that arguably the guy studying at Camberwell, he had it. When did he say that? He used a few bits of estuary English in his speech. Lots of people. It's quite expensive. You've got to deal with it. Did he say with? Apart from that, dodgy people looking at muggers weirdly. Anyway, maybe he had a bit more of a sort of estuary English sort of twang to his voice, whereas this girl doesn't. Some people have little features. They're slight features of what you would associate with London accent, that sort of, all right, mate, I'm from London, innit? You know what I mean? You know, there's that sort of thing, you know what I mean? There's like, you hear people who sort of speak like that. If you make that more moderate, it's more like RP with a few elements of that. So people saying things like words with an L at the end. Overwhelming. That's it. Overwhelming. Now, I would say overwhelming with a L in it. Overwhelm. But you might hear someone with estuary English saying overwhelm. Like it comes out as a W, as a W sound instead of an L sound. I'm trying to find other examples of words that maybe end with an L. Good nightlife, you know, a lot of action, a lot of friendly people. There's another one. People. I would say people. L-l-l-l, people. But if you've got estuary English, you might say friendly people. People. W-w-w, the W instead of the people. So it's more like a W instead of a L sound. She doesn't have this. The girl with the red scarf doesn't speak like this. She's got more standard RP, which is why I thought that she was potentially a little on the posh side. Maybe she went to like a private school or something like that, maybe. So anyway, everyone's been living in London for 2 weeks.
Okay, everyone's been living in London for 2 weeks for some reason. So what's London really like then?
London, well, London's a really, really massive place, which can be quite overwhelming.
London's a really massive place, which can be quite overwhelming. So there's the word overwhelming. And this has come up in LEP Premium recently. If something is overwhelming, it's like too much, too much for you, too big, too challenging. It's like it covers you like a big wave. It's overwhelming. So London, when you first arrive there, it can feel like it's very overwhelming because it's so big and there are so many things to do and it's just kind of, whoa. So it can be a bit overwhelming at first. And then she says, but it's not that scary, frightening, scary. It's not that scary after you've got stuck in there. To get stuck in there is a really great expression. And it's like saying, go for it, basically. You know, just do it. Go for it. Get stuck in there. Get stuck in there means go into the, get involved in the thing. Go for it. Do it. Go into the heart of it. Get right in the middle of it. Get stuck in there. And it's a really great phrase as a way of encouraging someone to go and do something. Okay? Someone's going to go and do something. Say, go on, get stuck in there, mate. Okay. So she says, London can be quite overwhelming, but it's not that scary after you've got stuck in there. Let's just rewind slightly.
London, well, London's a really, really massive place, which can be quite overwhelming, but it's not that scary after you've, you know, got stuck in there.
Yeah.
All right. And then she says, London has everything you'd ever want if you're into theatres, art, education, nightclubs, anything. If you're into theatres, if you're into art. So to be into something, which is a phrase that I taught long ago in the 16 Ways to Say I Like It video. I'm really into, I don't know what it was at the time, I'm really into football, maybe. If you're into something, it just means you're enthusiastic about it and you're interested in it and it's something you really like and maybe something you do. So if you're into theatres, art, education, nightclubs, anything, it's got everything you'd ever want. So just get stuck in there and go for it, she says. So she's being very enthusiastic.
London has everything you'd ever want if you're into theatres, art, education, nightclubs, anything. I would say just get stuck in there and go for it.
Okay, great. What's the worst thing about London?
The worst thing?
Well, you know, you heard, it's pretty clear. She said the pollution. She says it's not. It's probably not as bad as some countries, but you always feel like you've got black fingernails. Well, not sure about the black fingernails. What are you doing? Where are you putting your fingers? But certainly there is pollution in London, and you do notice it. If you've spent the day in the city and you come home, wash your face, you might find little bits of black grime. Grime is kind of like just the pollution in the air that somehow collects on your skin. And when you wash your face and you wash sort of like in your nose or maybe in your ears, you might actually find bits of black grime. If you blow your nose, for example, when you come home, you might find little bits of black residue. Which is the pollution. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? So I know what she means about the black fingernails, but I think it's not the fingernails. I think it's other parts that get affected by that. But anyway.
Ooh, the worst thing. I think the worst thing would have to be the pollution. It's probably not as bad as some countries, but you always feel like you've got black fingernails. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Right. So just a recap of the vocab. We had overwhelming. So London can seem a bit overwhelming at first, but it's not that scary after you've got stuck in there. If you're into theatres, art, education, nightclubs, and just get stuck in there and go for it. And we move on now to the girl who I've called the real Londoner, or the real Londoner who hates pigeons. That's because she's the only person in this video who's actually been living in London her entire life. So I've called her the real Londoner. Let's listen to her. And then we'll break it down.
Hi.
So, are you from London too?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, how long have you lived here?
My whole life.
Okay. Right. So you're a real Londoner.
Yes. Okay. A real Londoner.
What's it really like then, living here?
What's it really like? Well, I think it's fantastic. It's nice to live in such a cosmopolitan place with lots of things to do. You can never say that you're bored or have nothing to do, because then that's all down to you. So. Okay.
What's the best thing about it? You might have just answered that.
Yeah, I think I have. Just the variety and everything you want to do. Like, lots of things for different age groups. There's always something for someone to do. I would say the best thing is, like, the cultural little occasions that we have, like Chinese New Year and things like that, where you have big street parties.
Okay. What about the worst thing?
I don't like to answer that question. Oh, yeah, I hate pigeons.
Pigeons?
I hate pigeons.
What's
wrong
with
them? They're diseased.
They're diseased?
Yeah.
Flying rats?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the worst thing. I don't dislike anything.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
So you heard me say cheers at the end, which is, you know, totally normal. We do say cheers as a way of saying thank you, goodbye. And we say cheers when we have a drink with someone as well. But cheers can be, all right, thanks, cheers. It can mean goodbye as well. Right, so let's just revisit that little clip again and break it down. Did you get the things that she likes and dislikes about London? The likes is very similar to her friend, who is the girl in the red scarf. It's mainly like things you can do. And that there's a big variety of things. And the dislikes were the pigeons. So here we go.
Hi.
So are you from London too?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So how long have you lived here?
My whole life.
Okay, right. So you're a real Londoner.
Yes.
Okay, we understood all of that, right? Yes, a real Londoner. What's it like then, living here?
A real Londoner.
What's it really like then, living here?
What's it really like? Well, I think it's fantastic. It's nice to live in such a cosmopolitan place with lots of things to do. You can never say that you're bored.
A cosmopolitan place, a place that's sort of diverse, with a lot of things to do. You can never say that you're bored or have nothing to do, because that's all down to you. If something is down to you, it means it's your responsibility to do it. Okay, so for example, you know, when you leave school, if you go to university, you know, you don't have to go to classes. It's completely down to you. Like, you don't set your working schedule isn't set for you. like your writing of essays and stuff, they just give you a date to hand it in, and the rest is down to you. So if something's down to you, it just means it's, you know, it's your responsibility. We also say it's up to you as well, which means the kind of the same thing. Although it's up to you could mean it's your decision. So it's like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Up to you. Okay, meaning it's your choice. But it's down to you means it's your responsibility. But we also say up to you to mean the same thing. So up to you has got kind of two meanings. What do you want to do? I don't know. It's up to you. I'm like, really? It's always up to me, isn't it? I always have to make the decisions, don't I? Well, I don't know. Up to you, isn't it? Ah. And then it's like, for example, you know, we're not going to check up on you when you're doing the essay. You just have to hand it in on time, okay? All the details, that's all up to you. Okay.
Or, yeah. Have nothing to do, because then that's all down to you. So.
Okay. That's all down to you, she says. What's the best thing about it? And then there's like awkward banter where I'm like, oh, you might have just answered that. And then she talks about variety. I mean, this is all fairly easy to understand. Just the variety and everything you want to do. Lots of things for different age groups. There's always something for someone to do, meaning whoever you are, there's always something to do. I would say the best thing is like the little... little occasions that we have, like Chinese New Year and things like that, where you have big street parties, I would say that's the best thing. I think that was all fairly clear. If you don't get that, because I think most of the words there are fine, probably just the audio quality
about it. You might have just answered that.
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah. Just the variety and everything you want to do. Like, lots of things for different age groups. There's always something for someone to do. I would say the best thing is, like, the cultural little occasions that we have, like Chinese New Year and things like that, yeah, where you have big street parties.
Okay. What about the worst thing?
She tries to say, I don't like to answer that question, because probably she doesn't want to be negative and stuff. But then her friend is like, pigeons. And, oh yeah, I hate pigeons. They're just, and I say, what's wrong with them? She says, they're diseased. And I say, they're diseased flying rats, which is a thing that people say in London, that pigeons are basically flying rats. Rats, of course, are those rodents that live on the ground. Horrible. But, and we hate rats. And pigeons are no worse or no better than flying rats, essentially. So it's a thing that people say. It's not just us.
I don't like to answer pigeons. That question. Oh yeah, I hate pigeons.
Pigeons.
I hate pigeons.
What's wrong with them?
They're diseased.
With them? They're diseased.
Yeah.
Flying.
I hate pigeons. Notice just the way that she says, I hate pigeons, not I hate pigeons. Is that interesting that she does that? I mean, that's how people say it, because the word connects, hate, the t and the p connect together, so you end up with hate pigeons.
What about the worst thing?
I don't like to answer pigeons. That question. Oh yeah, I hate pigeons.
Pigeons.
I hate pigeons.
I hate pigeons.
What's wrong with them? They're diseased.
They're diseased.
Yeah.
Flying rats.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the worst thing. I don't dislike anything else.
Okay.
That's the worst thing. I don't dislike anything else. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Very polite again. Everyone's so polite. Well, it is London, isn't it? Good morning. Good morning. How are you? I'm very well. After you? No, after you. No, after you. No, after you. Good afternoon. Oh, is that how long we've been doing this? Yes, we've been doing this all morning. Now, I insist, after you. Good evening. You know. So let's move on. Well, no, before I do that, let's just recap the vocab. So we've got, it's nice to live in such a cosmopolitan place. That's all down to you, meaning it's, you know, whether you can deal with, what is it, you know, make the right choices, then it's all down to you. And I hate pigeons, they're diseased, they're flying rats, pigeons. Then we have the final interview of the video, and that is with what I've described as the young business couple, or smartly dressed couple. And these guys were a fairly serious young couple who I met in Piccadilly Square. No. Leicester Circus. No. I met them in Piccadilly Circus, and they were both dressed in business attire, and they were spending the day going around doing interviews and signing up with recruitment consultants and all that stuff. So yeah, guess how many weeks they'd been living in London? Yeah. 2 weeks, that's right. They'd just moved down and they were trying to find work. So they were doing lots of interviews in town. Okay, let's hear the smartly dressed business couple. Who, by the way, I think actually have some very correct things to say, very sort of lucid things to say about life in London. I mean, after only 2 weeks, I don't know where they're from originally. They're not, I don't think they're from up north, but I mean, a lot of people finish university and they move to London and they try and find work there. That's the way it goes. London is like this, it's like this kind of meat grinder that it sucks in people from universities and spits them out for probably about 15, 20 years later. And when they move out of the city and buy homes elsewhere, that's what it should be like. It's almost impossible to buy property in London these days. So people just sort of move out and then they have these horrendous commutes and stuff. But London's just this machine, like churning people from university through like their career and then out the other side. Yes, but they had some very good points to make about what it's like living in London. Here we go.
Hi.
So are you from London?
We've just moved here, yeah.
You've just moved here, yeah. Right, okay. So how long have you been here?
We've been here for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
Everyone I've interviewed today has been in London for like 2 weeks. I don't know why. So what's London really like then? What do you think?
It's a huge place. There must be about 10 million people living here. It's got a lot of good things, bad things. It's vibrant. It's multicultural. It's got fantastic places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic places to go out in the evening.
Yeah.
Fantastic theatre, fantastic restaurants, yeah, fantastic sort of museums, art galleries, absolutely loads of stuff.
Okay.
It's a fast-paced place. People seem to be moving around a lot faster than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes that can get quite a bit much. I mean, people sort of rushing everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
But okay. It's interesting. But there's also negatives.
Yeah.
It's very congested. It's very expensive. Extremely expensive. Public transport is expensive. It can take a long time to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of pollution and crime as well.
Yeah.
So if you come to live here, I think it's about finding the right enclave.
Yeah, the right neighbourhood to live in.
Right.
And having friends, set up your own community of friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than knowing your next door neighbour.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. No worries.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay. So that was the young business couple. I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking, guys, okay? You're thinking, I understood him, didn't understand her, right? I bet that's what you were thinking. But it's just because he was closer to the camera, so we picked up his voice better. She was quite far away, so we couldn't hear her. Yeah, I know. What a crappy audio quality. What are you going to do? It is from 2009, before I knew what I was doing. And now I know not to record video in the street. Not that I really can easily, living in France. But perhaps when I go back to London more regularly, then I'll be able to do that again. But if I do, I'll get the right microphone. I'll get one of those big furry things sticking out. You know, I'm talking about a microphone. Yes. So the young business couple. Let's go back. Despite the fact you couldn't hear her very well, we're going to revisit that little snippet there, folks. We're going to revisit that little clip of classic LEP Gold from 2009, and here we go. Actually, like, what have we got? What have we got first? Hi, so are you from London? Yeah, we've just moved here. Yeah, we just moved here. How long have you been here? There's that word, that phrase again. And she says, of course, we've been here for a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks meaning basically 2 weeks. And then I, of course, say, everyone I've interviewed today has been in London for like 2 weeks. I don't know why. And they just look at me and smile like, yeah, that's great. Very interesting. And then so what's London really like? What have we got to look at? Well, we've got it must be. So there's a nice little modal verb there of what is that? Supposition or speculation? Modal verb of speculation there. Talking about the present. Speculating. I became Jamaican there. Just people speculating about the number of people living in London, man. Why did I go Jamaican? I don't know, man. Stop it, no. It's a little bit racist, if I'm honest with you. Okay, I'll stop. Sorry. It happened by accident. So, there must be about 10 million people living here, he said. Not in a Jamaican accent. Again, this guy, I don't think they're from far away from London, the two of them. They sound just like standard received pronunciation from the south, southeast, maybe. So anyway, watch out for the modal verb with must be. There must be about 10 million people living here. How would you say that in the past? Convert that sentence to the past. Now, go. There must have been about 10 million people living here. That's it in the past. But for the present, there must be about 10 million people living here. Let's listen until we get to that that magical moment in the interview when my phone decides to play along. Come on, phone. Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. I tell you what, if you're getting annoyed by that music, then that's nothing compared to what I went through while editing the video in the first place.
So are you from London?
We've just moved here, yeah.
You just moved here, yeah. Right, okay. So how long have you been here?
We've been here for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone I've interviewed today has been in London for like 2 weeks. I don't know why. So what's London really like then? What do you think?
It's a huge place. There must be about 10 million people living here.
There must be about 10 million people living here. It's a huge place. I should have said, sorry, can you speak up a bit?
It's got a lot of good things, bad things. It's vibrant. It's multicultural.
It's got a lot of good things, bad things. It's vibrant. Vibrant's a nice, there's a nice word. Vibrant means it's full of energy, full of things going on. It's vibrant. It's multicultural. It's got fantastic places to eat, fantastic places to go out in the evening. One of the things that I find interesting about this interview with these two and like videoing people just for a minute and just featuring them in conversation for a minute is sort of fascinating because you end up analyzing every little moment, every little movement. And I've watched these videos over and over again. And what I find interesting about these two is their sort of dynamic between them, the couple. It's quite an interesting dynamic because I ask a question and she looks at him and sort of basically says, do you want to go first? She sort of waits for him to answer. He's kind of checking her. He's not going to answer unless he's sort of had the nod from her. So I ask the question and sort of he looks at her as if to say, I've got something. I've got an answer. Right. And she sort of goes, yeah, you know, go ahead. You want to go first. So she has to let him go first and he does his thing. And then she interrupts him every single time. So I'll ask a question. So what do you think of London? So yeah, London's a pretty good place. You know, lots of things to do. Loads of restaurants and theatres and like she always interrupts him after like requesting that he goes first. It's funny. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like she needs to have, she's sort of like the security of him going first and then she can follow up with her her response.
So are you from London?
We've just moved here, yeah.
You just moved here, yeah. Right, okay. So how long have you been here?
Actually, she is answering these ones first. Just totally crumbling my theory about their relationship. But I promise you, after this bit, that's when she kind of goes, oh, you know, go ahead. And then I'll interrupt you.
Weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
Everyone I've interviewed today has been in London for like 2 weeks. I don't know why. So what's London really like then? What do you think?
So she lets him go first.
It's a huge place. There must be about 10 million people living here. It's got a lot of good things, bad things. It's vibrant. It's multicultural.
And then she's going to interrupt him now, right?
It's got fantastic places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic places to go out in the evening.
Yeah.
Fantastic theatre, fantastic restaurant, fantastic sort of museums, art galleries, absolutely loads of stuff.
Okay.
So it's easy. What happened, Luke? Sorry, it was just a B. So it's pretty easy to understand, I think, so far. Everything's fantastic, fantastic. There's loads of things to do, and it's all fantastic, 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 fantastic. I'm like, okay, great. And then he carries on, and then she interrupts him again, which is fine. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, because it's kind of cute in a way, because like, she's like, oh, you've got to go first. And now I have things to say. Now that you're speaking, I can do it too. I don't know. Is she less confident than him? I don't know. It's just an interesting dynamic.
It's a fast-paced place. People seem to be moving around a lot faster than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes that can get quite a bit much. People sort of rushing everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so bit of vocab there. What is it? It's a fast-paced place. Fast-paced. Pace. The pace of something is the speed of it. We have an expression, at a snail's pace. You ever heard of that? To do something at a snail's pace, it means to do something very, very slowly. You walk at a snail's pace, don't you? For example, you walk slowly. So pace is like speed. So it's a fast-paced place. It's a fast-paced place in your face. Okay, just for any rappers out there, there's a little idea for you. You could use that. You're welcome. So it's a fast-paced place, meaning it's a place that has this like speed, very fast place. Okay, people seem to be moving around a lot faster than in the rest of the country. It's kind of true. I talked about it in the episode with Andy Johnson. It's the London walk. Everyone's like rushing around, live in London, can't hurry, can't hang around, got to keep moving. Moving. All right, morning. Can't stop. Sorry, bye. I'm living in London, you know. Yeah, so yeah, me too. Bye. You know, everyone's rushing around like that all the time. People sort of rushing everywhere all the time. People rushing. Right, that's rushing, not Russian. There are Russian people there as well, I think, in London. You know, Roman Abramovich and people like that. A lot of Russian billionaires rushing around. I don't think they are rushing around, though, actually, even though they're Russian. They're Russian, but they're not rushing around because they can take life a little more slowly than all the other people who are like just rushing around. I'm Russian, but I'm not Russian. But you have a Russian accent. No, I don't. It's terrible. It's just an embarrassing accent. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can get a bit much, she said. If something gets a bit much, it means it's like too much. It's overwhelming. It's too intense. Ah, this is all a bit much, isn't it? Ah, it's like it's all too difficult. So you go to the theatre and the performance is like really extreme and you lean to your friend. This is all a bit much, isn't it? Meaning this is all a bit too much, but over the top. She says sometimes that can get a bit much. You know, people sort of rushing everywhere.
Place to place. People seem to be moving around a lot faster than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes that can get quite a bit much. You know, people sort of rushing everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
But okay. It's interesting. But there's also negatives.
Yeah.
To it's very here. Congested.
There she goes again. I love it. I just love the way she interrupts it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes that can get quite a bit much. You know, people sort of rushing everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
But okay. It's interesting, but there's also negatives.
Yeah.
It's very congested, it's very expensive, extremely expensive. Public transport is expensive, it's hard, it takes a long time to get anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she's not interrupting him. Maybe they're sort of finishing each other's sentences, or at least she's finishing his sentences. I don't know. So she said it's very congested. There's a nice word for you. If something is congested, it just means that there's, well, in terms of a city, there's too much traffic, lots of traffic jams, congestion. It's congested. It's very expensive, extremely expensive. Public transport is expensive. It's hard. It can take a long time to get anywhere. Okay, fine. And then he says, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of pollution and crime as well. So if you come to live here, I think it's about finding the right enclave. So, and that's the thing that's really true. It's about finding the right enclave. An enclave is like it's like an area, a small area within the city in which you live and you feel comfortable. So for me, my enclave was, you know, like the W6 region around Hammersmith down by the river. That was my enclave. That's the small area where I felt comfortable and at home. So living in London is about finding the right enclave rather than sort of getting to know your neighbour. Rather than knowing your next door neighbour, it's about finding the right enclave, which is a very good point.
There's also a lot of pollution and crime as well.
Yeah.
So if you come to live here, I think it's about finding the right enclave.
Yeah, the right neighbourhood to live in.
Right.
And having friends, set up your own community of friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than knowing your next door neighbour.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. No worries.
Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye.
And there we go, folks. That's the end of that classic bit of video from the archives. I don't know why I'm speaking like that. Seems very good fun to speak like that at the moment. I don't know why. I'm having a lot of fun speaking this kind of voice like I'm a radio DJ. So that's the end of the Drive Time Show, folks. I've been Luke Thompson. You've been listening to Radio RAPZM27, the radio of the future. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Oh my God, remember that? Remember those days? Hands up if you've been listening to this since the days of Podomatic. Hands up, hi. Those are the true long-term Lepsters. If you've been listening since those days, then you're a true long-term Lepster, because I went through teacherluke.podomatic.com, which doesn't really exist anymore. You can actually find it online, but it's just literally every single thing on the page just says, the podcast has moved to teacherluke.co.uk. It's just plastered all over the page everywhere with links taking you to the right place, right? That's it. There's no content, nothing on there except me writing, this is all moved to teacherluke.co.uk. Click here to find all the episodes. And yet still, every week, I get notifications in my phone on email saying, someone has just subscribed to your podcast on Podomatic. I'm like, did you not get the message? But a lot of people are listening on Spotify these days. And so obviously the early episodes, it's for more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. So they're all doing that. And regardless of the messages everywhere, they're going, yeah, please subscribe me to this stuff that's had no content since 2011, I think. Anyway, then it was teacherluke.wordpress.com, which is kind of a cheap ass website, isn't it? If someone's got like blahdiblah.wordpress.com or dadida dot what's the other one, like blogger.com or something, but now of course I've moved up in the world and I'm on teacherluke.co.uk, which is where you find all of the stuff, including the full page for this episode, which has got everything you could possibly need, like literally everything you could need, like stuck on a desert island. Don't worry, you don't need fire or shelter or food or a knife, a container. You don't need those things. All you could possibly need is the page for this episode on the website, and that will give you everything you need. You'd be able to learn English to enough of a degree to be able to write a complex message on the sand, and then you'd be rescued. So you're not going to need water or shelter or protection against the elements. You're going to be fine because of the page for this episode on the website. Go to the episode archive. You can find it. This is episode what? 600 and... Is this 604? He asked, not knowing which number this is. Because I've just done a whole series of premium episodes. Yeah, this is 604. So, yes. You'll see, if you're using the app, you'll see four premium episodes. That's series 14. All dealing with language from episode 576, which was a conversation with James, my brother. We talked about books and music and films. And I've taken lots of target language from it, just good expressions and bits of grammar and vocab that you should know if you want to push your English to the next plateau. And you'll find them there in the app. And you can just register for Luke's English Podcast Premium to unlock all of those episodes that you'll find in the app and online. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium to get started, and you can really push your English. I do lots and lots of pronunciation drills. I recently got feedback from someone who did a survey on my website. Someone in Spain doing a thesis about learning English using podcasts, and he did a big survey, and lots of my listeners responded to the survey. And so, you know, lots of great feedback. It's amazing to read it, I have to be honest. It's incredible, the positive stuff. But there were things like, you know, what could be done differently? What would you rather was different? And one of the things was, you know, could you repeat the vocab more often? And that's what LEP Premium is all about. It's about repeating target language again and again. In different situations, I do little improvisations with the language, playing around, having fun, keeping it funny, but repeating the words in context so that you learn them. And then doing lots of pronunciation drills, which is another thing that some people asked for, which is like, can you do listen and repeat drills for pronunciation? And again, that's also what I do in LEP Premium. So you get all the teaching, the examples, the funny moments, PDF with tests and notes, and then full pronunciation drills for listen and repeat. And in this series, I focused on sentence stress and connected speech. So that's the sort of thing you get from Luke's English Podcast Premium, teacherluke.co.uk/premium. And it costs basically like the price of a coffee from you to me every month, or maybe a coffee and a cake every month. It's basically $2.99 if you pay on a 12-monthly basis. So if you pay for the whole year, it's like $2.99 a month, which is not much. And if you pay every 6 months, then you pay $3.49 a month. And if you pay every month, you're paying $3.99. Okay, so the full price is the monthly payment of $3.99. Pay once every 6 months, and you make a 15% saving. And if you pay on a 12-month basis, then you're saving 30% off the full price. There you go. Not too bad. Pretty affordable. I decided that I've got enough people listening to this around the world for whom maybe the exchange rate's not great and you want something affordable. And I know there are lots of options out there that are vastly more expensive than mine. I mean, you know, I could probably have charged a lot more for what I'm doing, but I decided I'm a humanitarian at heart. You know, I'm a philanthropist.
You mean you're just pissed?
Well, I am sometimes pissed, but sometimes I'm a philanthropist, which is a drunk, generous person. I'm not that drunk. Anyway, what am I talking about? The pricing. It's a good deal, isn't it? Pretty good. It's a bargain, I think. Anyway, that's the end of my little promo for myself. You forgive me, don't you? Yes, of course we do, Luke. This is how you're going to make the podcast work for you. Thank you. It helps to keep the whole thing alive, and it helps me to continue doing this and to make it all better. And also, it's just lots of genuine content for you. It's not even a donation. You get tons of stuff as a result. Okay, thank you for listening to my podcast. As I said, I'll be away on a holiday for a little while, so things might be quiet, but there should be premium stuff coming at least. And I'll speak to you again on the podcast very soon. I look forward to reading your comments. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.